Williams.
Well, our winter sport athletes have returned home, marking New Zealand's most successful Winter Olympics. Australia has also had its best medal tally in Pyeongchang this year, raising the question, is it time for the Winter Olympics to come down under? A columnist has made a case in The Guardian today that New Zealand and Australia should team up and make a bid to host. Just because a columnist says this doesn't necessarily mean that we should be doing it. Wellington businessman Bruce McGeehan has actually done the numbers on some of this, and Bruce is with me. Hi, Bruce, and thank you for your time.
Hi, Larry. You're quite welcome.
The Winter Olympics have only ever been in 12 countries, I think, Bruce, and never strayed south of the equator. Do you think it's time to bring them down under? What do you think?
I certainly think we should do a full study into it and let that study stand on its own legs. At the moment, I think we New Zealanders and perhaps Australians as well are just assuming that we can't do it. And yet every winter we have the world's superstars of skiing and snowboarding train and compete in Queenstown and Wanaka. So we're sort of doing part of the Winter Olympics already. Why not see if together with Australia, we can do the whole lot.
Have we been here before? I recall this being promoted before. We have, haven't we? We've looked at it before.
We've looked at it a number of times over the last two or three decades. It seems to we people who have been or are in the ski industry, when we see those really top-notch skiers and snowboarders down here training and competing, we just shake our heads wondering why we shouldn't at least look at studying to see whether the full Olympics can be held here.
Right, so there's been no, Bruce, there's been no study, is that right? There's been no cost-benefit analysis of this?
No. Look, I did what we call a pre-feasibility study, a quick and dirty study to see whether it made any sense at all. And when I saw that it did, I chose to go public with that study back in 2015, saying, look, we need to look at this. This is makes sense for us from a economic perspective. If we can do some things well, like if we can increase our share of the Australian ski market who ski in New Zealand from less than 10% to perhaps as much as 25% of those Australian skiers. Mm. And if we can get the Hobbit effect again, the Hobbit effect, you know, that was Tourism New Zealand advertising the Hobbit all around the world, and that increased tourism numbers or expenditure up by 4.5% every year for quite a few years. So that's the game.
Yeah, so the idea would be to have what the indoor events, ice hockey, figure skating, those sort of curling in Australia, and have the snowboarding and the skiing in the Southern Alps. Would that be the idea?
That seems to be the proposal, and that would suit us. All the capital expenditure would be in those events. We have spent most of the money we need to hold talking about the Guardian proposal here, to hold the alpine and snowboard events already in New Zealand, so in Queenstown, Wanaka. So I think if the Australians can pay for the stadia, the ice skating and other elements, and perhaps the ski jumping and luge is held somewhere else, perhaps even in Japan, the IOC is open to those ideas, then indeed we could do it. In fact, the IOC has said, the Olympic International Olympic Committee has said that they will give the current Winter Games, the ones that have just finished, $880 million to fund that event. So if we get a bit of that, we don't have to spend much on capital expenditure, then we're in the money.
As I understand it, so you'd bring Japan, this would be what, Japan, Australia, New Zealand now, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, it's a proposal for people other than myself really to outline, but one angle you can have is to say, you know, the ski jumping and the luge are such a niche event that when you build those facilities, are hardly ever used. And so why build them again? And the IOC has said the same thing.
So here's the thing. The Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, the total cost was just under $18 billion. That's out of our league, isn't it?
You've got to split up between the operating expenditure and capital expenditure. So the operating expenditure is about $1 to $2 billion, most of which is paid by the IOC. Mm. The capital expenditure is where you're building train lines, roading, all sorts of other things that aren't required to run the Olympic Games, but are required, arguably required, to win the the bid. Now, I don't think we should do that. I think we should say to everyone, look, we want to go back to what the Olympic Games used to be, which is a smaller event, not these huge events that seem more for the egos of particular presidents.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because whatever way you look at it, slice and dice, you're still going to have the athletes at the Games. I think they had 2,500 in Pyeongchang. In Pyeongchang, they got 42,000 hotel rooms. There was 80,000 foreign visitors, there's, as well as the athletes. 3,000 journalists covered the Games. We don't have the infrastructure in Queenstown and Wanaka to house all these people, do we?
No, we don't, and we don't need to house all those people. They most of them could be housed. Firstly, it would be a smaller number of people outside of the athletes, and many of them would be housed in Australia. It could even be Auckland. But you are right. There would need to be significant accommodation investment into Queenstown, which is exactly what Queenstown wants to do at the moment. They've got real problems down there, as well as perhaps a bit more expenditure in terms of roading and transport infrastructure in Queenstown and hospital. Queenstown also needs a hospital. So all the things that Queenstown wants to do would be required to be done by the time the Olympics arrive, which would now be more 2030. I think is the next one up for bid.
Bruce, thank you very much. Very interesting. I do appreciate your help. That is Bruce McGeachan, who is a Wellington businessman who's done a feasibility study on bringing the Olympics to New Zealand and Australia. It is now 4:17. Oh, before I go to the break, Nico Porteous, bronze in the free ski halfpipe. He's in the studio after 5 o'clock at some point. So is Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott, bronze in the big ear. Two 16-year-olds. We'll talk to them just after five.